I'm talking to vocalist and frontman Biff Byford from one of the hardest working bands in the business, the legendary Saxon. Hi Biff, how are you?
I am great, thank you.
Cool, okay. Right, we must start by talking about the forthcoming Eagles and Dragons vinyl box set, which is due for release on the 18th of March via Demon Records. Can you tell me a bit more about it?
Well, it's from 1991, Solid Ball of Rock, up to 2009, which is Into the Labyrinth. So it goes through that sort of dodgy early 90s period when the British bands were having a few problems with the with the grunge explosion happening around them. So it goes through that, and different member changes, different drummers on there, and it's just a great it's a great package, really. I mean, there's some absolute gems in there, really, and you can hear the band morphing, you know, from the late 80s to basically now, really. It's got exclusive artwork on the box from Paul Gregory.
Yes.
It's a great package, actually.
Cool.
On this heavyweight vinyl, like the H's, so it should sound good.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic, bringing it out on vinyl, because that's having a big resurgence these days, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Hopefully people can carry it. It weighs a ton, this thing. Nine vinyls plus the album covers, some of them are gatefold, so it's quite a big package.
Fantastic. I'm sure it's going to be very popular. So Paul Gregory's designed many Saxon covers, as everyone knows, including this exceptional new one, as you said.
I would say at least 95% of the covers are Paul's covers on this box set, so it's a bit of a history of Paul Gregory as well, this set.
Yes.
So it's a great package. I mean, the thing is, the artwork looks great on 12-inch, on the size of a vinyl rather than a CD.
Sure.
The album covers look great. See the depth of the painting, because they're all paintings, so...
Yeah.
There's a lot of depth and, a lot of thickness to the paint. You can see it on the bigger artwork.
Fantastic. And, he's such a talent, Paul Gregory, isn't he? What is it about his art that you find so special?
Well, the first album he did was Crusader when was it, 84, 80, something like that. So, he's done other album covers as well for other bands, but I think that the ones he does for us probably connect to his style more. The mythical side of him, and the whole Saxon image goes with what he does, really. So, from Crusader right up to Lionheart's fantastic cover, the heraldic shield, and everything. So, we work well together in Paul. So it's good to keep a good team together.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so Saxon's most recent and 21st album, Battering Ram, was released last year in October. It was very successful, reaching number 12 in the German charts.
It's still selling really well. We're touring. We're going to go out and tour again, because obviously with Lemmy dying suddenly, we couldn't finish the Battering Ram tour we were doing with Motorhead and Girls' School. So,
yeah.
We're going to go out in October and finish that tour. I don't like leaving it unfinished. And
no.
We're going to try and take out Girls' School if they're up for it. So.
Oh, that'll be great.
The fans will have a little bit of the same package.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll love that, definitely. So, with such an impressive history that you've got, and the band having been a major force in metal for so long, what's the secret to keeping going?
If you listen to these albums, you can see the secret. I mean, we're definitely members of the Never Surrender Club.
Yeah.
Great songs, I think, really. Just downright great songs, that's the secret.
Yeah.
And surround yourself with people that are great at doing their job. It hasn't always been the case with our albums, with producers and things, but I think, for at least... At least eight of those albums, the production is great.
Yeah.
Forever Free was a bit dodgy with the producer, although the album's great. The production on it's a bit strange.
Right, and talking about producers, you chose Andy Sneap as producer on Battering Ram. So what does Andy bring to the table for you?
He's great, Andy. He's a great technician, and he knows... He's a big fan of the 80s, so, you know, I can give him the reins really safely because he knows not to go too modern and still keep it classic Saxon, but with that modern edge that we need these days.
Yeah.
He's great. He's great for us, you know. He does a great job, and, he can eat a strong, very hot curry and drink like a fish, though. Fits in well.
Yeah, that's a plus, then. Great stuff. Well, I'm sure Saxon are going to be going strong by the time your official 40th anniversary is here. I mean, I suppose it's officially 40 years this year since the inception, of course, which was Son of a Bitch, wasn't
really.
It? But you don't count it as that.
We weren't called Saxon then, were we?
No.
We tend to go from 79, which was the first album, which is actually when we changed our name.
Yeah.
So, there was a different drummer in that, Son of a Bitch.
Yeah.
79 really. I mean, actually, it's 2018 is our 40th anniversary.
So, not too far away then.
Not too far away, no.
Yeah. Have you got some special celebrations planned?
Well, we're just trying to get to it, that's the thing.
I'm sure you will.
Try and get to that point and then we'll see.
Yeah. I'm sure you will. So as a northern lad, can you tell me a few things about your home area that mean a lot to you and shaped who you are today?
Well, obviously I'm a Yorkshire boy, from the area around Wickfield, or so West Yorkshire, actually.
Yeah.
I'm from the same... more or less the same place as Rod Smallwood,
yeah.
Huddersfield area,
yeah,
Wickfield. I was a village boy, you know, working in a textile and coal mines where the industry where I was. So that was what you had to do or get away from.
Yeah.
So you know, I did all that and got away from it as well. So that's pretty good, you know. And yeah. So yeah, I mean it's. I don't know if it's that that now your parents obviously help, you know, and things, but I mean, I don't know. Each individual is different, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I lived in France for, 8 years, and I moved back to Yorkshire, so there you go.
Okay, so, yeah, you did a huge tour for your 35th anniversary last year. You covered the UK, Europe and America, and I know you said that you just mentioned earlier you're going to do some more, but what are the rest of your plans for this year?
Well, we did America with Motorhead, obviously, last year, and we played a few Battering Ram tracks. So we're probably going to go back to America, if we can squeeze it in. And we've got to go to Japan, maybe, October.
Right.
But we're putting something together October to December, so it could be Europe, UK, there could be a bit of America in there, I don't know. We're putting it together now.
Yeah.
So, just keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll be one of the first to know from Sharon.
Okay, cool. We'll stay tuned for that. Right, okay, something a little bit away from Saxon, but just wanting your opinion, because this year it's 40 years since the Rainbow Rising album was released. What do you think about that album and the band Rainbow, Richie Blackmore, the whole thing?
I like all the Rainbow connotations, but I like the Dio one the best.
Yeah.
I think, Rainbow Rising, and what's the one after that? They did two, didn't they, Dio?
Can't think offhand what came next.
I think for me, they were rockier, obviously, so it was more like Deep Purple with the Dio Rainbow.
Yeah.
I think the other Rainbows were a bit more sort of poppy, a bit more sort of chart.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love Rainbow Rising, it's a great album.
Yeah, have you got a particular favourite on there?
I like Run With The Wolf.
Yeah.
Run With The Wolf, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, that's probably my favourite on that album.
Yeah, did you work with Rainbow years ago? Did you do some touring with them?
Shows with Rainbow. We toured America with Rainbow.
I thought you did, yeah.
We actually got kicked off tour with Rainbow.
Oh, yeah. Why was that?
Yeah, well, I sort of... you know, we went up the ranks of, like, you know, respect.
Yeah.
We did three shows. We were on three big shows with Rainbow. It was Graham Bonnet's Rainbow, I think.
Yeah.
Was Richard Blackson's, yeah, Graham Bonnet was the singer. And we did Deeside Leisure Centre, and we did somewhere else, and then we were on our way to Wembley, and we got the phone call saying, Richard, Richard doesn't want you to play here. Because you're going down too well.
Oh, oh dear.
Yeah, so we didn't do Wembley. I've never done Wembley since, actually. So,
oh.
So, and then we, you know, there's no bad feeling. So it was just one of them things. We were riding high then, though.
Yeah.
Well, it was the Wheels of Steel album was, like, high in the charts and sold.
Yeah.
I don't know, 200,000 records or something in England, so.
Yeah.
We were underdogs, but we were, like, you know, doing really well. I mean, they were great, though. It didn't detract from them, but...
Yeah.
And maybe you just thought we were slapping the audience's energy a bit too much.
Oh, great stuff. Okay.
Maybe you just didn't like me whistling and swearing and running around. I don't know.
One or the other. Okay.
Maybe you took offence to Paul Quinn's guitar playing. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. So we didn't play Wembley, which is a bit of a shame.
No. Oh.
We toured America with them, and, yeah, you know, we did a few festivals. We did the first Donington with them, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rainbow gig. So, oh, yeah.
Some great memories. Okay.
Yeah, great memories,
right,
yeah.
I just want to squeeze in a couple of fan questions, if possible. All people in the UK. John says, what's your favourite Saxon song and why?
Oh, God. That's a really hard one. There's so many, you know. I'm going to pick one off the box set, because that's what we're talking about, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the 80s stuff's fantastic. I'm going to pick Lionheart.
Yeah.
Track from that album.
Okay. Cool. Right. And Rue says, what modern or new music do you listen to when you're at home?
All sorts of stuff, really. I mean, I've got teenagers, haven't I? So,
yeah.
You know, bring me the Horizons on there regularly and stuff like that. You know, a lot of old stuff on vinyl. My son plays Hendrix a lot, and,
yeah,
you know, The Doors, you know, he's into all that stuff, so it's a big mishmash of rock music.
Yeah.
Always rock music, though, at our house.
Okay, okay. And do you get bothered a lot when you're just shopping in Asda?
You can do sometimes, yeah, but not regularly.
Yeah.
I don't really shop in Asda. They haven't got one where I live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think, and Tesco.
Ah, right, yeah. Yeah. Okay. And Amanda says...
Little,
yeah, Aldi. Aldi's pretty
Aldi.
Good. Right, Amanda says, which musician inspired you when you were growing up?
That's a hard one as well. Well, quite a few musicians, really.
Mm.
I like the Cream. I like Jack Bruce, the bass player, because I was a bass player.
Yeah.
I love the Rolling Stones. They were like absolute rebels, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't really into the Beatles as much as I was into the Stones, so I suppose I was a bit of a biker lad, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Motorcycles and that type of thing, so I tended to lean more towards the long-haired bands rather than the short-haired, clean-cut bands, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, the more rebel.
So, yeah, I think that, you know, the Kinks were highly influential with me.
Yeah.
Rolling Stones. Some of the early, you know, like early stuff. It's difficult, really, because the 60s, you know, when all this was going on, when I was, like, in my teens, was an absolute melting pot of music.
Mm.
Things like Moody Blues, they were great, you know. Yardbirds were fantastic.
Yeah.
Jeff Beck and Jimmy Page, all those people. But I don't think there's one person, really. I mean, Jimi Hendrix sticks in your mind, obviously, because
yeah,
he was the rock god of the day.
Yeah, of course.
So I'll go with him.
Okay. Right, and Simon says, apart from being teetotalers, was there anything else that shocked Lemmy about Saxon on the Bomber Tour?
We weren't teetotalers, though. That was just some silly... some silly press thing that
was it?
Kicked into orbit. But no, it was just, you I like to drink warm tea on stage, really, for my voice.
Yeah.
That's where that comes from. And Lemmy was drinking Jack Daniels, you know, so that was the clash there. You know, he was a lovely man anyway, you know.
Yeah.
It was all done in absolute fun.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And the last one, Rob says, I know we've mentioned Paul Gregory, but have you got a favourite Paul Gregory cover?
Well, it has to be Crusader, really. That's hung on my wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
When Crusader started all that, you know, that album cover movement in England, I think Crusader was voted, wasn't it, one of the best metal covers of all time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's good.
Fantastic. Okay, so to finish off, Biff, would you like to leave a message for your fans?
Yeah, keep the faith, and we'll see you all in October on the Battering Ram tour. Okay. And, yeah, see, we'll play a few songs off this box set as well. So it should be great fun.
Oh, great stuff. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, brilliant.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.